The 2021 Tokyo Olympics starts in just 4 days. It's an event that's been fraught with struggle from its postponement due to the pandemic to the recent ban on spectators. Bottom line, the state of the Olympic Games isn't pretty. With an original budget of $7.3 billion, experts say the current price tag could very well wind up hovering around $26 billion. This jump isn't uncommon for the Olympic Games, with almost every city losing money in the process of hosting the event. We ask, why do cities keep coming back? And could Kansas City ever be in a position to host these games? Here to answer that question is economics professor at the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts. That's Dr. Victor Matheson, who studied and written about this issue. Dr. Matheson, thanks for taking some time today.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for having me.
You know, this staggering number, Doctor, $26 billion for Tokyo to host these games, I bet they can chalk up some of that to the pandemic, but my gut tells me not all of it. What happened here? Why did the number jump as much as it did?
Yeah, so I think I just want to start with that very first thing you said, that if your listeners take anything away from this conversation, it's that this event was an economic disaster well before COVID hit. It's tempting to say, oh, look how unlucky Tokyo has been. And yes, they have been unlucky, but that's only added fractionally to what was a disaster of the games. And the numbers you talked about in your intro, the budget had gone from $7.3 billion to $15 billion officially before a single case of COVID had been diagnosed. And it was up to, again, that $26 billion you're talking about before talking about the extra costs going in there. So again, that one biggest takeaway from this whole thing is this is not just a COVID thing. This is something that is problematic with all mega events and the Olympics in particular. And these things easily get away from the organizers. And on average, we've seen costs go about 160% over budget over the last 50 years for Olympics.
But this is far more than that. 7.3 to 26 is a multiple of almost 4.
Yeah, so this one, this is a particularly expensive and a particularly problematic case. What happened here, among other things, is number one, the sort of tight time frames that you need to build all of these venues in very short periods of time. That's a problem. Obviously, Tokyo has wildly expensive real estate. And so this was going to be an expensive game to begin with. You often have times with corruption, and you also have issues with basically mission creep. Think about anyone who's ever had a wedding in their family. You start out with a budget, and then you're like, oh, ice sculptures. Oh, I need to release pigeons and doves. You can think about these things that easily get away from you. Now imagine that on a scale, not of a wedding with a couple hundred people, but with 10 million ticketed fans and 12,000 athletes and 36 events. You can buy sculptures at all of these, and you can see how this can really get away from you quickly.
But I was going to say, whoever made the original projection of $7.3 billion, the number now $26 billion, that person shouldn't have a job anymore.
So we certainly, one last thing, of course, obviously, is you often get the underbidding. I think the most hilarious example I can remember of this was the London Games. You probably all remember this from just 8 years ago. But in London, the original bid was actually only for $4.5 billion. Within 2 years, the budget had already ballooned to $18 billion. Then when the games came in at only $17 billion, they said, hey, look, we came in under budget. this sort of thing happens again and again. And of course, the same thing happened in London. You had mission creep. Where you said, well, you put out a bid where you said, well, what's the kind of the cheapest we could get away with, hosting the event? And then all of a sudden you said, hey, while we're here, let's just add, this new airport expansion. Let's just add these additional hotels. Let's just build a couple big venues in here. And all of a sudden, again, Tokyo has gone from a $7.3 to a $26 billion event. And again, the $26 billion, there's no actual numbers there. Those are just kind of guesses. And we may never actually see a full audited event there. In fact, one of the last events we had in Japan, the Nagano Winter Games, about 30 years ago, the very last thing that organizing committee did was destroy all the financial records. So we actually don't even know exactly what that event came out with in total.
Well, it sounds like they need to do the same thing with the Summer Games here in Tokyo. So did you just outline what the major cause for the increases have been? Is it just these add-ons and airport extensions you mentioned and hotels? Is that what this is?
Yeah, so that's a very important point, right? How much of the expenses are due to things solely related to the games and related to venues, and how much is related to general infrastructure improvements? And economists are at least a little more, little happier with general infrastructure improvements, because at least then you get an airport that you can use for years afterwards. Quite honestly, money spent on specialized sports infrastructure, which you need a ton of for the Olympics, doesn't have a whole lot of use once the Olympics are over. I mean, literally no one needs a 15,000 seat, aquatic center. No one needs a world-class velodrome. These are just not things that get used all the time. The reason you don't see world-class velodromes dotted all over the United States is these are just things that are not used very often, right? So the money you spend on sports infrastructure is generally something that economists consider to be wasted, and you end up with white elephants. You end up with Greece having a world-quality baseball stadium in a country that doesn't play baseball, right? But to the extent that Greece, again, another financial disaster, but at least ended up with some nice extensions to their subway system that are still in use today, even if all of the other venues have become overgrown white elephants.
We're talking with Dr. Victor Matheson. He's an economics professor at the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts about the skyrocketing cost of the Summer Olympic Games set to open up Friday in Tokyo, what's driven that cost increase, and could Kansas City ever host these games going forward? You know, Victor, you just were talking about this idea of white elephants and stadiums being built that are never used again. That leads to a word that I wanted to bring up later in our conversation, which is this idea of sustainability, the idea that maybe the Olympic Games needs to get more serious about not building things that immediately become white elephants as soon as the games are over. What does that look like? What is the focus on sustainability now at these games and going forward?
Well, certainly one look at this is there's been a significant increase in the number of temporary facilities that are built. So, for example, Boston was in the running here before kind of voter sentiment here said we don't want to be in the running for the 2024 Olympics. And the main stadium there for that was going to be the opening and closing ceremonies, as well as the track and field events, that wasn't going to be where the Patriots play, and that wasn't going to be where the Red Sox play. That was actually going to be a temporary facility that they were going to just build for that event and then take it back. That means you can do a much cheaper facility than trying to build some sort of permanent venue. For example, the Tokyo National Stadium, which of course now is going to host a very sparsely attended opening and closing ceremonies, as well as soccer and track and field, which aren't going to be attended at all. That was a $1.4 billion stadium. That cost more than the entire 1984 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles put together, even after accounting for inflation. So these sort of stadiums are hopefully kind of going away in for maybe a $300 million temporary stadium. But again, that's a stadium that you're spending a couple hundred million dollars just to use for 3 weeks. It's just hard to make those numbers work.
Now, you mentioned the 1984 games in Los Angeles. Speaking of Los Angeles, is that the last time an Olympic Games made money for the host city, or do any cities make money off these things any longer?
Well, so it's really hard to answer that adequately because it's so easy to hide money in different sort of places, right? You can say, Sochi for the Winter Games a couple of years ago, they spent $51 billion in total, building all of the infrastructure around needed to host that event. Actually, that team's made money because they put about $50 billion of the cost off the books and only about $1 billion of the cost on the books. Mm-hmm. So again, that's hard to say, but there's no doubt that Los Angeles had almost no public taxpayer contribution, made a large profit for the private organization that was running that event. And they had, again, they were in this perfect situation where they were the only bidder for the games at this point. There had been several disasters in the 1970s, a major terrorist event in Munich in 72,
right.
Financial debacle in Montreal in 76, and a Winter Olympics that we forget about that was actually awarded to Denver, and Denver's taxpayers said, no, thank you, get back. And by the time 1984 rolled around, they were the only bidder. So they could dictate the terms of this event to the IOC rather than the other way around. And the IOC said, oh, but we want our ice sculptures. And they said, no. And they said, oh, but we need a brand new Olympic stadium. And they say, well, you can use the Rose Bowl and the Coliseum. We built those back in the 1920s. But guess what? They're still 100 meters long. So you can certainly run your races there just like, the track. Track distance hasn't changed in the last 50 years. There's no reason we need to build a new stadium. And so lo and behold, you get this very, very cheap event that had lots of private buy-in, lots of private sponsorships, and ended up making a bunch of money. But, all these cities see how well Los Angeles does, and they all start bidding at the same time, which means that now the IOC is in control because they can play cities against cities. And that happened here in the Tokyo.
But you can't help but wonder, in the wake of this debacle, and you've called it a debacle, what's happening in Tokyo here, are other cities still going to line up to compete for these games when you're looking at a price tag of $26 billion?
The answer is no. And what we've seen in the last couple cycles of bidding is city after city after city dropping out. So we're going to see the Winter Games actually coming up really soon here in Beijing. The reason they ended up in Beijing is because Oslo dropped out, because Stockholm dropped out, because Munich dropped out, because Turin dropped out, because Lviv, Ukraine dropped out, because the Polish bid dropped out. So these are all these cities dropping out of the bidding of the Winter Games. And you were only left with Beijing and Almaty in Kazakhstan. You didn't have to worry about public sentiment there, right? Because these are countries that aren't widely known for their democratic leaning, right? When it came time to bid for the Summer Games, same sort of thing. My home city here of Boston dropped out, again, because of public pressure. Hamburg dropped out. Rome dropped out. Budapest dropped out. Madrid dropped out. We had city after city pulling out of it, so that we were actually left with only Paris and Los Angeles. The IOC awarded it to Paris, and then in an unprecedented move, awarded the 2028 games to Los Angeles without even putting the games up for bid. They were so worried that no one would come bid for 2028 that they decided to just award, basically make Paris and Los Angeles co-winners and awarded them both games at the same time. Again, you never would have seen that 15 years ago after, but after all these cities are dropping out, you could see the IOC became very worried about the sustainability of the event going forward.
So it sounds like we've turned the corner then. The Olympics are no longer a prize that cities are lining up to grab here. So what does the future portend for the Olympic Games?
So what it looks like, and this isn't necessarily great for all the cities involved, but what it looks like is, rather than having a bidding process that's a free-for-all of, every city coming in and every city with, some sort of, mayor with presidential aspirations or a local governor who also owns a heavy construction firm that wants to profit on all the building projects that go on. So rather than that sort of thing happening is that the IOC will reach out specifically to cities that they think are capable of hosting the games. And rather than getting into this escalating bidding war leading to what's called the winner's curse, that's an economics term where a person who wins a bidding process all of a sudden realizes that they were the most foolish one to to overbid in the way that they did. And they're going to reach out to individual cities. And it appears that that's already actually happened for 2032. And it looks like Brisbane, Australia, which, again, I wouldn't put on my list of places that is an obvious Olympic host. But again, they have reached out to Brisbane specifically to host the 2032 games. And so, again, at least we're not seeing this competition between cities leading to this basically, kind of this escalating bidding war against cities that has led to situations.
We're talking about the economics attached to the Olympic Games that open up Friday in Tokyo. If you want to join our conversation with a question for Dr. Victor Matheson, again, an economics professor at the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts, our number here, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. So I guess all this leads to one of the main questions on the table here, Doctor, which is, and you're beginning to answer it, I think, which is this idea of, could Kansas City ever host these games? I'm getting a pretty clear impression from what you've said so far that any chance of that ever happening, those days are long gone here.
So I wouldn't necessarily say that. I would say instead that, of course, Kansas City could host should they want to do that. But you would want to think long and hard about whether this is something you want to do. And what it would involve for Kansas City is it would involve probably $20 billion worth of investment, lots of which you're never going to get back. It would be a lot of investment in very, very specific sports-specific infrastructure that you don't have in place and that you wouldn't use after. It would mean building a huge number of hotels. Now, normally, an economist would say, hey, that's not such a bad thing because you can use these hotels afterwards, but Kansas City doesn't need 70,000 hotel rooms, right? Kansas City needs 15,000 hotel rooms, and so you'd end up with 45,000 hotel rooms that would sit empty after that. You would end up with major expansion of your airport that, again, would have gates that are empty most of the time. So, again, I wouldn't say that Kansas City is incapable of hosting the Olympics, but rather that this is not something that is likely to be a good investment for the city. And it would be an awfully lot of money for the typical Kansas City resident to pay for what amounts to a 3-week party.
Where would a city like Kansas City get $26 billion, Dr. Matheson?
Well, I mean, it's not out of the range of possibility, right? I mean, it's the metropolitan area of Kansas, is a couple million people. So, it's doable, but there's just no reason to think that that's what you want to spend your money on. And I would suggest, run away as fast as you can. That hasn't stopped other cities like, Tulsa submitted a bid for one of the recent cycles, which again, I don't want to laugh at Tulsa for that. But again, that's probably not a very good use of their money, even if they were to do that. And I think you'd end up a lot like the dog that chases cars. And then all of a sudden you catch one and you're like, well now what do I do with it? Yeah. Probably the worst thing that happened would be for Kansas City actually to win actually get selected to host the thing. And then you actually have to go through with this. And of course, what Tokyo has shown us is that there are gigantic risks associated with this. This is a bad investment for Tokyo to begin with. But it's become about $4 to $5 billion worse over the last 18 months. Thanks
wow.
to COVID.
Well, how much of winning the games is about ego, is about bragging rights? You've talked about some of the physical infrastructure advantages of winning these games, a new airport, new hotels, all those kinds of things. But what else does a city wind up with here? I mean, is it really worth strutting around the rest of the globe saying, hey, we've got the 2028 games coming to Kansas City?
So I would say no. And the reason for that is it's only a very narrow set of cities that hosting the games works in the right way. So you can say, hey, this is a way of engaging in worldwide branding in some ways to put your city on the map. But you've got to be a very, very specific kind of location for this to work. If you're Tokyo or London, it's not going to work for you because, quite honestly, if London or Tokyo isn't on your map already, you really need to get yourself a new map, right? So it's not going to work for the cities that are already well-established tourist destinations. London, top tourist destination in Europe already. It's also not going to work for an Atlanta, because even if you advertise Atlanta to the world, it's still Atlanta. You're not going to get people from Munich saying, hey, I'm going to go visit the United States, my first big trip ever to the U.S. We're going to go see New York City. We're going to go see Disney World. We're going to go see the Grand Canyon. Oh, and let's go to Atlanta while we're at it. That's just not going to happen. And that's likely not going to happen to Kansas City either, right? I mean, again, fantastic barbecue and a lovely place to visit, but it's probably, no matter how much you advertise it, it's never going to become this huge international tourist destination. So probably wouldn't work for that. What it works for is if you're a hidden gem. You have something to offer the world, but that's not very well known to the world. And I think the two examples I can think of there are Barcelona, which is, again, this spectacular city, but it always kind of been under the shadow of Madrid for many, many years. But it, after hosting the Olympics and getting this worldwide exposure, it went to about number 10 in the tourism rankings in Europe to the top five. So that's very impressive. And the Olympics had something to do with that. Same thing happened in Utah for skiing. Following the 2002 Olympics, skier visits to Utah grew a lot faster than skier visits to neighboring Colorado, where people say, oh, you know, I'd never thought about going to Utah for a ski vacation. But, you know, now thanks to the Olympics, maybe that is one of these places I have to visit. But that, again, gem. And I know that, again, Kansas City has some gem-like qualities, and I will eat barbecue, and I will put that barbecue up against anyone in the world. But it's unlikely that Kansas City, no matter how much advertising you did, could ever be, you know, the New York City, could ever be the Paris that you're looking for if you're going to spend that sort of advertising money.
You know, Dr. Matheson, you mentioned that one reason that the L.A. Games in 1984 was successful, at least financially, was because it did things on the cheap. Who's driving these added costs? Is it the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, that's pushing so hard for all the bells and whistles? Or who dictates how much money gets spent for any one Olympic Games?
Yeah, so it's the IOC. A lot of people have suggested that they act with a significant amount of entitlement and arrogance. The Oslo bid, for example, that Beijing got instead, the Oslo bid was torpedoed, at least in part, because they leaked the bid documents from the IOC requesting that all IOC members get fresh flowers and out-of-season fruit in their room every morning. And have dedicated lanes just for IOC members on the highways to get from venue to venue.
That's crazy, again, doctor. That's simply crazy.
It is crazy, and it just was extremely distasteful to the people of Oslo. And they said, "Well, look, then we love our Olympics, right? I mean, it's Oslo, right? It's Norway. Of course they love the Olympics, but they said, you know, someone else can host them, not us."
So what does the recent choice of Brisbane, Australia, as the 2032 host city say about the IOC's mindset right now?
Well, so the positives are that they did not engage in this big bidding war, right? They didn't pit Brisbane against Madrid, against, you know, Kansas City, against Buenos Aires, against Istanbul, against one another, try to see who could come up with the most lavish bid. So that's a good point about it. What's bad about it is it did not choose a city that had well-established tourism and sports infrastructure. You know, they didn't, for example, go back to an Atlanta or go back to a London right away to use the infrastructure that was already there in place. And they certainly didn't engage in the sort of activity that I think most economists like myself have suggested is go to one or two permanent sites. You know, go to Sydney and just have it there every 4 years, and go to Athens and have it there every 4 years. Go to somewhere in Switzerland and have the Winter Olympics there every year, year after year, or just have, you know, two or three of these venues that you rotate amongst. That's what most economists would say is the sort of thing that prevents cities from, you know, again, building this infrastructure. Again, you know, Brisbane's going to have to build a ton of venues from the ground up. And I think a lot of folks are concerned about that, especially considering if you're going to go to Australia, you have two cities already there that are much larger, have much more infrastructure there, and have already hosted the Olympics in the past.
Right.
That would have been better and more economical.
Well, Dr. Matheson, you've opened my eyes to a situation. I guess I didn't really understand it, but I have a much better feel for it now. That's Dr. Victor Matheson, again, an economics professor at the College of the Holy Cross out in Massachusetts. Doctor, thanks so much for your time today, and thanks for convincing me that maybe Kansas City should never host these games.
Well, Steve, again, my pleasure, and enjoy some of that great Kansas City barbecue for me.
We do it often out here, Doctor. Thanks so much.